Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mama.
One more week.
Week three? Are we in week three?
I think we are in week three. Official week three.
Right? How
crazy is that? They said we were going to go.
You know what? I'm getting used to it already. I'm getting used to it. I'm kind of like low-key thinking, what's it going to be when I'm actually be able to go into the wild?
But you're
gonna be like, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay home.
But also, you're going to be like on a longer quarantine because then you're going to have a baby. And then you're going to be inside again. This is your training.
I know. And then holidays come. And then I'm going to be inside again. So 2020 is the year of my house.
You know what's so funny? Remember at the beginning of the year, we're like, yeah, this year we just want to take it easier. We're just going to take a chill. There it is.
I always wonder what it would be like to just be like a stay-at-home wife and, you know, have your husband go to work every day and you with your kid and like, you know, and like now I'm actually living that life.
Yeah, it's hard.
Because my husband has to work. Like my husband's working nonstop. This is the first week where he's actually working from home. He went to the office on Monday, but this is the first week where he's actually like working from home. So that's why I'm in our little like workout room because he's up there like in our corner office. And our son is watching TV. So, you know, it's just interesting because it's like he's in that corner and like, you know, I have my schedule with Eduardo and, you know, my work. But come 5 p.m., I'm like, sorry, you gotta get out of the clock. I gotta get to work. Well, yesterday he went longer. Yesterday he went to like 6, and I was like, yo, I'm like clocking overtime right now. But now I know what it's like because, you know, he's the only one whose income we are depending on. And I'm like, oh, well, is this like what I'm supposed to be supportive? Like, is this what? Is this when I was supposed to be like that stay at home like wife and like just like be like, oh, I'm supporting my husband because he's working? I don't know.
Cooking, planchando, lavando, limpiando.
I'm definitely, you know what? My cooking skills have really gone to master. I can go to Master Chef now.
Damn. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to make this week? I'm probably going to make it today because I've been craving Cinnabons.
Ooh,
you're becoming a baker too.
Well, actually, like, we are posting the banana bread recipe on the Super Mama.
We posted it today. But everybody's making banana bread.
Mom made it. Tita, Fernando, Ramiro made it once. I made it. We finished it in like a day. It's so easy. It's so good. When I was looking at the recipe, I was like, "Where's the liquid going to come from?" Oh, okay, I see the liquid coming. But it's so good, it's so so good. Everybody should make it at home, and that's so now. Then you send us the pita. I haven't gone to that one yet, but Cinnabons.
I found a better recipe for the pita that I'll send you. But the pita was so so good. I roasted a chicken, and I had it with like fresh pita. And fresh, we made hummus, we made pita, we made roast chicken, and it was just like roasted vegetable. Oh my God, it was so good. I was like, oh, this is like so good. And then the next day, so here's kind of like what I cooked this week, I guess I should say, or the highlights of my cooking. So I made albondigas, and I actually took photos of that recipe, so I will be posting that in my blog. Because did I talk about this on the last show?
No.
Okay. So, I don't know why I was craving albondigas, but like in my mind, albondigas, I don't know if that makes sense. And to be honest with you guys, I've never made albondigas like the way my mom made them. I've always kind of steered towards more Mediterranean flavors or Italian flavors when it comes to doing meatballs. or meatballs with spaghetti sauce, or just like a little bit more, or lamb meatballs. Like I don't know why I've never really done like proper Mexican albondigas at home. I don't know why. When we stocked up on food, I bought like 3 pounds of ground meat. We're a family of three, so for me that's a lot. I have meat, I have like cool chickens, and when I bought them, I separated in like half pound bags. So I have them separated in little bags, kind of like individual servings. So I said, I'm just gonna do a half a pound of albondiga and see. So mom sent me her recipe. I did it, and it was just delightful. And then I'm cooking beans like once a week. I'm cooking beans all the time, just like mom did. So I had my pot of beans, I had my albondigas, and at that moment I sat down, I even had chiles en vinagre because I remember that's how mom ate them, and I had a clayuda. And I sat down with my son and I was eating it. I felt like mom's spirit was coming over me and I was becoming mom. I was like, I'm coming closer to becoming like mom. And I was just like, oh my God. Like I even got like a little bit like emotional, because I was like, this is like what I used to eat when I was a little girl. Mom would come home and she would just make us this food.
Yeah. I'm not really a big fan of albondigas. I don't like a meatballs. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. I think it's weird to have caldo de carne molida. I don't know.
But it's not, I made them a little different. Like I modified mom's recipe a little bit, just kind of knowing what I already know about meatballs in essence. So like I kind of changed it because they didn't cook all the way in the sauce.
Okay.
I browned them and they were crispy.
Oh yeah, see that.
I took them out. Then with the same fat as the meat, then I made mom's like kind of sauce, which isn't a lot, just a little bit. And then I returned the meatballs, so they finished cooking. Okay. So it was just so good. It was so, so good. And then I did a Zoom cooking class where I used orgeleguetza mole to make this mole and bean soup. Mm-hmm. So I made it with the beans that I had made for the albondiga. So then we had that the next day.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then we had a little bit left. So then I made the roast chicken. And then on Sunday, I was like, what am I going to do? So then on Sunday, I scraped every piece of chicken I can get out of that roast chicken. Like there was still some chicken. And I think I spent so much scraping every little bit of chicken. And I made a recipe that we actually have online too, our mole nachos.
Ooh.
So what I did is I used those beans with mole that were already made, and I made these chicken mole nachos that were freaking incredible. So it's like basically using every single thing I made through the week, and it was really, really, really freaking good.
I know. I mean, it's – you have to
– and then I made bread.
I
made my own loaf of bread because I sent my husband to the market last week. And you know, we're trying not to go to the market. I totally forgot to put bread in our list. And he's like, shit, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, I'll just make it. I'm sure it's not that hard. So I totally made this delicious honey oat bread that I've been slicing. And that's like our sandwich bread and our toast that we've been eating all week. It's like fresh made bread from the week. I was like, who am I?
Lo estás mal acostumbrando. And then when we go back, and then when you have the baby, he's going to be like, what? You're not cooking anymore?
I know. But I am very much looking forward to the Cinnabons. I have never made them. And I've been looking at, I've read like 6 different recipes. So I think I'm confident in the one I'm going to make. I think I'm going to make it today. But I just been craving Cinnabons. Like I just want that warm, fluffy, like, you know?
Yeah. You're craving sweets. You're craving a lot of sweets.
I'm craving a lot of sweets.
That's so weird.
What did I have
really
yesterday? Oh, and then this week, like I had like, this week I made just very simple, potatoes with chorizo, papas con chorizo.
Oh yeah.
With beans on the side and salsa. Like I was like, this is so simple yet so delicious.
So, so, so good. I know I've been eating a lot of Mexican, you know, my husband loves the Mexican dishes.
Yeah. Example, I want to make bistec con papas sometime this week. I have to unfreeze. I'm making chicken today.
We made salsa de huevo for breakfast one day. That was like really good. I was like, oh my God, I haven't had like a salsa de huevo made by me but in a long time. The one thing that I'm craving and I cannot get anywhere is chicharrón. I am dying for a piece of
chicharrón. That sounds so good. You know what I'm craving? And I haven't, my Bristol farm doesn't sell lard. So I have to find lard at some point, but I want to make my own flour tortillas. So I've never like gone like a good flour tortilla.
We have so lard at the restaurant.
Yeah, I just gotta get it here. But I really wanna make like good flour tortillas and just make like a nice like bean and rice burrito with, you know, sauce and just like a breakfast, like a nice proper breakfast burrito with bacon and eggs and, you know, like potatoes and just, but I need the tortilla.
Damn, can you send us some food? Seriously.
But I wanna make that. And we'll see. We'll see what else we're going to make. Today I'm doing chicken and rice. I made mom's rice, which is like so bomb. I just tasted it right now. Yeah, I'm going to have that with chicken. And I think I'm going to do like some glazed carrots or something.
I'm going to make that. But
I'm
going to make pollo chipotlado tomorrow with the rice.
Oh, you know what? Oh, yeah, that's really good. You're going to love it. You know what's really good? I know a lot of people have been making this. And I've seen it on Instagram and I love it. But I posted the recipe for salsa de molcajete that's in her book. Yo, like a fried egg with that sauce and a tortilla, super crispy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I ate that like 6 days in a row and I was like, maybe I should stop.
Yeah.
But that salsa with a fried egg, that's all you need.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Some beans.
That's all you need. This week, the kids are supposed to be on spring break. And they refuse to do any work.
What does that mean? What is that? Because I think like, what does that mean?
So that means that there's no.
It's funny. I saw this interview with Kim Kardashian, and she was saying her kids are in spring break. I'm like, wait, I don't understand. Are people going? How are you? Oh, it's because you're Zoom calls or what?
Yeah, because we have Zoom calls with school, and we have assignments. But this week it's free, and they're like, no, we're in spring break. We don't have to do work. I'm like, oh my God. So now we're switching from academic to just crafts and games to keep them busy. But that has been a challenge because they don't want to do any work because they're on spring break and they just want to spring break. Yeah, you know? So I think this week I was just like, I was talking to Fernando yesterday and I told him, you know what? Aside from that time that I had a few drinks with my friends, I'm like, I think this week, because it's spring break, I'm going to make me some cocktails. I'm gonna get into the spring break spirit and make me some cocktails for the weekend. But yeah, I mean.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
My husband, he's working too. So he went to get, he went to drop off some michelada at a Ramirez liquor. And he picked up kombuchas and things for him. And he grabbed me up some beers. So,
well, I will say that virgin micheladas are just giving me life right now. I'm trying them with different types of, I tried it with the Topo Chico lime.
Ooh.
Amazing. It's another brand called Spindrift, which is sparkling water. The mango Spindrift, you can order it online. Oh my God. It tastes just exactly like a mango michelada. And I could, you know, I'd had one. I was like, why do I feel like I'm kind of bust? I mean, like, I know that obviously has like zero alcohol. It's just sparkling water. But I think it's just like the placebo effect of me. Just I was like,
I know.
I want to drink. I took a sip of my husband's old fashioned that he made last week. And it was like so good. He's reading this. He's reading this cookbook. And I've never done this before. But if you blend equal amounts of water and sugar, so a cup of water and a cup of sugar, it makes a syrup. Like it actually is syrupy. It's a syrup. It's not just water.
Yeah.
I always thought you had to cook it. Cause like when you cook it, it's 2-1. When you cook it, it's a 2-1 ratio.
Because it evaporates.
2-1. Yeah. And it evaporates and it's kind of like, but in the blender, you don't have to cook it. You don't have to wait for it to cool down. It's just 1-1 ratio. It's not 2-1. Like when you cook it, It was in this book that he, and then we have like so much sugar. Elizabeth was making fun of me yesterday because he's like, wait, how many types of sugar do you have? I'm like, girl, I have so many types of sugar. But there's this sugar that we have. It's called Demerara sugar. And that makes the best syrup. Ooh. The best syrup. It's just 1-to-1 ratio. It's so good. But you should use it on your cocktails at home.
I'm going to make a cocktail this weekend. You know, this weekend I'm gonna go all spring break mode.
Not fair. Not fair. I can't even open a bottle of wine, even if I want to have a glass, because then the bottle is bad, because my husband doesn't drink wine. Like, not even worth it.
Yeah, that's true. So that's where I'm at. But I think now that we're at home, it's a perfect opportunity to talk about the census, which is what we're going to talk
I filled out my census the first day I got here. I was like, I have nothing else to do. I better be a citizen and fulfill my civic duty. And all of you guys, now that you are home, put it in your to-do list. Fill out your census. We have a census expert on the show today that's going to tell us all the importance of doing it and learn. It's so interesting. It's so, so interesting. You know, today more than ever, and giving everything that's happening in the world and understanding your rights and funding and funding comes from funded and what this and that. This came actually at a great time when we can talk about important things in life.
Definitely. I think that, like you were saying, with everything that's happening and, you know, how things are being distributed now with the crisis, I think, you know, it's very important that we make ourselves count, because you never know. Honestly, you never know after this. You're like, you know, el mundo se puede estar acabando in 2 years, and we're just going to be like, I don't know. It's important that we do. I received my card like a few days ago, actually. I don't know where it is right now, but I received it and I filled out mine too. So I'm sure everybody has received theirs by now. And if not, just, you know, look for more information on the website for the census.
We'll link it on our website, superromance.com.
Yes.
But please fill out the census. Please fill out your censuses. And it's super important to be counted. Don't be afraid to count people that you think they may not belong in your house. I will say, though, I filled it out. And some of the questions they ask, you know, they are a little bit kind of like,
Like what?
Like, I could see people are afraid. No, just like names, ages, who lives there. I could understand what people could feel a little bit like, like they're coming at you or they're keeping your information. But after our interview, I realized they do not, your information is completely confidential. It's, you know, it's based out of the Constitution, and, you know, I think that we should enforce our rights. So
yes,
please fill it out. Don't be afraid.
It's 2020census.gov fill it out. And this week we have Mariana Dell. She covers early education for KPCC, LA's number one NPR station. And she comes to talk about all Census 101 to give us all the information that we need. So write it down, ladies, and fill out your census. It's more important than ever. Now we know. I mean, we've always known. And also, right now, you have no excuse. You have all the time in the world. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
All right.
Anything else you want to say?
Have a good week. Have a good week. Also, I ordered takeout on Friday. Last Friday, I ordered a burrito from Guerrilla Tacos. So shout out to Guerrilla Tacos. I ordered Domino's pizza one day. My son loves Domino's, so shout out to Domino's pizza. I don't want you guys to think I'm cooking all the time, but I did order Domino's. I did order takeout. Don't think that you have to also cook all the time.
No.
Support your local restaurants.
We ordered Panda Express.
If you're from really,
my kids were like, "We want that." We voted Panda Express won.
If you're live in Los Angeles, you know, you can please, please, please order from Galaguetza Thursday through Sunday. Support our restaurant and support your local restaurant. That's it.
Yeah, have some pozole or mole this weekend, guys. Yep. Chiles rellenos.
Order mole jars. Order mole jars.
Yes, micheladas. Also, your order micheladas. Go to the store on ilovemole.com store. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, Mariana.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I will first start by saying that I am a huge fan of KPCC and been supporting for a long time.
Thank you. We really appreciate
that. You guys are in our neighborhood. I like to consider Pasadena my neighborhood, even though that's not my neighborhood.
Your adopted neighborhood.
Well, I live in Highland Park.
Okay.
And my son goes to school in Pasadena.
Okay.
So I just, I'm always there in Pasadena.
You're like an honorary resident.
I feel like it. My son thinks he's from Pasadena. So anyway, so you are, you cover early childhood education for KPCC, which is NPR's number one LA station.
Yep.
And today we are here to talk about the census and the importance of it. And of course, education. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on about Los Angeles and education.
Yes.
But for the sake of time, let's start talking about the census. And why should everyone opt in? Is that the way you say it? Opt into the census? Participate in the census?
I think participate is probably the best way to talk about it. And so I guess just a little census 101, first of all.
Let's start.
Basically,
what is the census?
What is the census? One, it's a word that's like challenging because you hear that word and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound that interesting. But it is really interesting because it has a lot to do with like money and really like how power is distributed in this country. Mm-hmm. So the census is basically a giant survey. So in the US Constitution, it says that every 10 years, we need to figure out how many people live in the country. And so the census is the way that we figure out who lives here. It's not counting citizens. It's not counting adults. It's not counting, you know, taxpayers. It is literally, if you live here, we want to make sure that we know that you live here. And the reason that is because that helps us determine our representation. So how many people you're represented in the House of Representatives. It helps determine where tons of federal funding goes. We know that federal funding pays for everything from health services to education. You know, it touches almost every single part of the community. And to figure out who gets what kind of money, they use census data to make those decisions. And so if you're not saying, hey, I'm here, then the government is not seeing this as a community that, you know, needs schools, needs hospitals, needs health clinics. And so it's basically just a way to say, I'm here, I live here, and I'm part of this community.
Got
wow.
it.
I didn't even know it was on the Constitution.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. It's very legit.
It's very
How
legit.
Long has it been around? I mean, not that I don't know anything about history or anything, but how long has the census been?
I mean, so really as long as the United States has been a country, we have been keeping track of who's
here. It's on the
here.
Constitution. That's what she's
saying. Yeah.
I know, but I don't know how old the Constitution is.
Oh, okay. So that's a whole other...
Is that like, okay, Polinaria? That's like a better way of saying.
1741.
So how old is the Constitution?
200, right? I think somebody said like recently that this country is like 200. It's 200 years old, right?
I know this has suddenly become like a history lesson in my hands.
Who
getting
knows?
Very sweaty.
Well, who knows? Okay, the point is that it's very, very important.
Yes, and the questions change a little bit every year, but for the most part, it's like, you know, who are you? How many people live in your household? What is your sex? What is your ethnicity? Do you rent or own your house? And I think something that's really important to know, because there was a lot of news coverage about this earlier, right, is that the census is not going to ask you if you're a citizen. It's not going to ask you, you know, your country of origin. It is not going to ask you if you're here with papers or not. That question is not going to be asked. And even if that question was asked, which it's not, the information that you give to the census isn't shared with any other part of the government. It's not given to law enforcement. Your name is not going to be released to the public. That's also like another law. Like, I don't know if you hear a lot about people doing like genealogy research and they're
yes.
like, oh yeah, uh-huh, we like uh-huh. use the census. Well, you can't find out like people's individual names until 72 years after the census is
oh,
being
wow.
taken.
Okay.
So your information is pretty much like locked down for like decades. And, you know, I'd like to be alive in 72 years, but I think, you know, chances are some people are no longer around by the time that their
yeah.
information is released. So it is extremely secure and it's really, it's safe.
So what exactly does the census ask you? Your name?
It asks, so if you're like head of household, it asks your name. It asks.
How do you decide who's the head of household?
I know, for real.
I guess that maybe is a conversation that you have to have within your household.
Well, you know, who's going to be your head of household?
I don't know.
Who wears the pants in your house? It's going to ask you who lives in your house.
Okay.
You know, what kind of house that you live in. It is going to ask you your sex. It does only offer male or female as options. And then it's also going to ask your ethnicity. And it's a little confusing, your race, because Hispanic or Latino is not actually listed as one of the options when it talks what? About race. But then there's an entirely separate question that says, you know, do you identify as Hispanic or Latino? And so that's why a lot of people will say, you know, other race. And then there's that separate question for people that choose to identify that
Got
way.
It. Got
yeah. How many questions is it? How long will it take me to do it?
And can you do it online?
Yes. So I can answer. First of all, you can definitely do it online.
Okay.
So what's happening right now actually is the census is sending out these invitations to participate. Mm-hmm. So it's going to show up in your mailbox and it's going to basically say, go to this website. And a lot of people are going to be able to answer online, and that's my2020census.gov is the website. But then people will also be able to send in, can send in paper forms as well. That's how it's traditionally been done. Mm-hmm. But they're really pushing that it's done online. And of course, you know, not everyone has a computer. And so it's totally okay if you go to your local library or a university to complete the census. And so if you don't respond, though, that's when people start showing up at your house. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't really open the door to strangers. So if you want to maintain your privacy and you don't want someone showing up at your house, it's really easy to just fill out the census and then they'll pretty much leave you alone.
But it's only online.
Yes.
Okay.
And it really is not going to take a lot of time to complete. I have not filled it out yet because I haven't gotten my little invitation yet. But when I do, I anticipate it's going to take like 10 minutes.
Got now, it. What if you are the kind of person that goes to the mail really quick, and if it's not a bill or something from the IRS, you just don't pay attention to it and accidentally throw it away?
That's okay. Because they will send you another postcard.
Okay. I want to talk about the importance the census has on every single day, on everyday life. I know that, you know, we mentioned that you do not, we will not ask you if you're a U.S. citizen or not, and mm-hmm. they will not keep your information, which are the two more important facts that I wanted to get out there, especially mm-hmm. for our community. Aside from that, how does it impact us moms, our children, our family? And even if you're not a mom, how does it impact your education?
So
and your rights as a citizen.
Yes. So there are more than 300 federal programs that allocate some amount of funding based on that census data. And, you know, some of them are a little more obscure, but some of them are programs you hear about all the time. So like WIC, Head Start, which is the federal preschool program. Mm-hmm. Children's health insurance can be impacted by it. Programs that impact maternal health. Those are all programs that rely on census data to kind of distribute the types of funding. And I think something that's really important to point out, which is also something that was very shocking to me when I started this job, is that children 0 to 5, that age group is the most likely not to be counted in the census.
Yeah.
In the last census, they estimate at least 1 million children were not counted that 0 to 5 age range.
Is it that because the parents are like, oh, it's just us, and they forget about the kids? Or because that happens at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. They say at a reservation of 5 and then they show up with 8. I'm like, there's 8. Yeah, but those are kids. I'm like, they still count.
Yes, and they eat and they need a chair to sit in.
They need a chair. Like, they need
take
a space.
Up space.
Exactly. And so there's, I wouldn't say there's one specific reason that children are being undercounted, but we have some idea of possibilities. And mm-hmm. so one of them is that they might live in historically undercounted communities, meaning if Got you it. Live in a more like complex family situation where maybe you have multiple generations in one household, mm-hmm. or like here in LA, our housing situation is, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, people that live in like the guest house or, right. you know, in a garage or like right. some kind of converted area that maybe, you know, if you live in a house and you get your census card, did the person in the back house get a census card? And so those people are less likely to be counted from the get-go because they're not receiving that postcard that has that identification number that you use to go online.
That's so true.
Another thing is that, you know, there is maybe some lack of information out there that your kids do count. I think when you think of like who lives in your house, you might not think of like a baby or an infant or someone that is not necessarily participating in the world the same way we are as adults. But children absolutely count. And so the cutoff is actually if your child has been born by April 1st, they should be counted. Even if you are like in the hospital on April 1 with your baby, you are still being counted in the census.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, because I'm pregnant right now and I'm considering counting my child, my unborn child. Look, listen, my unborn child is already on a wait list for childcare. So why should he or she be in the census?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid question. Only thing I have to give is like, you know, the line straight from the Census Department, which has that April 1st cutoff. I think maybe they just had to make it sometime. But I think that is a real concern because you think the census isn't going to come around for another
10 years.
And so your baby is going to be a kid by the time it comes around. And I think there is a concern. So I think it's just really important that we're encouraging everyone that has children to count their kids. And then I think another reason for the undercount has to do with the reason that people generally might be undercounted, which is like fear of the government, lack of information. And actually, Latino children were more likely to be undercounted in the last census. They represented 36% of that 1 million undercount that I mentioned before. So it's a real issue.
It is. You know, when you were talking about how the house are divided now and why wouldn't the people in the back house be considered, it's a real issue that sometimes, you know, it's an underground thing that I don't want to let people know that I have people living in my back house. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a really valid question of why Latinos don't get counted. So I'm going to say, just make sure if you have someone back there, this information is not going to be shared, as you said. So count everybody in your house, even if there's people living in the back.
And another thing, too, is, you know, we have some families where children might be spending time either with their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, maybe mom and dad are not together. And it's like, who counts the kid? And so
both of them count them both.
So technically what they say is that it is wherever the child is staying, like on April 1st. And if a child spends a considerable amount of time with you and you're kind of like their main caretaker, then make sure you are counting them.
Got it. Oh, well, oh, it's really important. It's really, I had no idea how much everything that the census counted. I just thought it was like, okay, they just want to know how many people we have and that's it. But they were talking about, you know, you were saying as far as like education, but not only that, but I think I heard somewhere that because people are being undercounted, then there is less representation in the government on those underserved communities, which already are underserved. And if we don't have enough representation in the Senate or, you know, whatever the House of Representatives, then there is no voice. There is no voice of those people there.
And I think we talk a lot about how, like, your vote is your voice, but because not everyone who lives in the U.S. gets to vote.
Yes.
I would say participating in the census is also your voice. Yes. Because even though you might not have the privilege of being able to select our leaders, at least you can stand up and say, like, I'm here and someone should be representing me.
That's true.
Aside from Head Start, what other programs that are, you know, for children or from others are funded by federal dollars directly affected by the census?
So there are dozens of them, and some of them are like grant programs. Mm-hmm. So there's like child care development grants and maternal health grants. And so when you look at local organizations like, you know, AltaMed or any of the nonprofits, the clinics we have, they rely on these grant dollars, and those grant dollars are in turn determined by the census data as well.
Right. So let me just try to put this into a little bit more like every single day scenario, more visible scenario. So if I am the government and my job is to decide how much money goes everywhere. Let's say mm-hmm. I have, I don't know, $2 billion in funding or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm looking at the entire United States. My decision is solely based on the number of people that live in each county.
It's not the single deciding factor, but it is a significant part of how they make decisions. And just to give you some more context on your imaginary $2 billion. So the estimates are that the amount of federal funding impacted by the census is anywhere from like $600 billion to more than $1 trillion. Dollars.
Oh, here I am talking about $2 billion. Like, that's a lot of money.
Let's talk about trillions. Yeah. It's a large amount of money. And it is, I will say, it is difficult to kind of comprehend how that number impacts this amount of funding. And that's one of the grand challenges of my job, is to try mm-hmm. and make these things a little more tangible and understandable. And I will say that if you are listening to KPCC over the next couple of months, we are going to be telling stories that help lay all this stuff out and explain, you know, why it matters to everyone in their everyday lives.
Perfect. And just for context, that we are recording this in 2020.
Yes.
Spring 2020. Wait, is it spring?
Is already. Well, it's.
I mean, LA feels like spring all the time. So
we're three weeks away from.
Just so you guys know, and just if you guys are listening in the future.
Yes, we're talking about the 2020 census.
Go back and look through KPCC's website or las.com. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to put it into context on what it means if you're not a mom or just a citizen of the states, and how that affects your presentation in the House of Representatives and the Senate, and district lines, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like a huge deal also when people are redistricting. I think that was an issue that happened in the past decade. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit more about how the census affects that part of our life?
Yeah. So, you know, the way our government is set up, we have the Senate, and every state, no matter how big they are, has two senators. Mm-hmm. But then as far as the House of Representatives, that is determined by your population. And so California does have a lot of influence because so many people live here. But that is something that is a little bit flexible. It's not like we've had some kind of like mass exodus in California, but we really want to make sure that each state has an accurate count so that they are represented and they have the weight in the House of Representatives that is equivalent to the population that lives there.
Got it. And what about when it means to a more local level? Does that matter with redistricting or council members or anything of that sort? Or is it just for House of Representatives?
So I'm actually very new to California. I moved here in the end of October.
Oh,
and
welcome.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to the Golden State.
Yeah. So that is something that I'm still learning, but I can definitely do some research on that, and okay. I'll make sure our listeners know about it.
I have a question for you. Like you were mentioning before, you know, nowadays it's really strange to open the door to people who just come and knock. So yes. As of what day will people start knocking? No, yeah. Seriously.
When does the knocking happen?
And, you know, and how do you
also, and how do you identify these people?
Such a good question,
Paulina. And, you know, like, because like, you know,
take it for someone who watches a lot of criminal movies.
Yeah, no, seriously.
But sometimes like my babysitter's by herself with the baby. Oh, yeah. You know, like people leave their kids, or, you know, you don't want to just open the door for anybody. But this is something important. Or trust me, I've been selling a lot of Girl Scout cookies around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And knocking on doors.
You were knocking on doors?
Yeah. And it's
people
hard.
Are opening?
Yeah, people. And it's hard for people to open. So whenever they see Krista with her little cart, then they would open, right? But other than that, it's hard to get people to open the door. It's hard to get people. And
it
more,
freaks you
know,
out.
I live in South LA. And so that neighborhood, it just tends to be very, you know, the windows are locked, everything's locked. So how do we open our doors to these people so that they can count us if we already don't have internet? People don't have, you know, access, mm-hmm. such easy people access. People don't want to walk to the library. They don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these underserved communities are going to end up being knocked on their doors.
Yeah.
How do they know that this is the right people to open the door to?
So you're right. This really is kind of like a safety net. Just to, that shows the effort that we really go mm-hmm. to make sure that every single person, to the best extent possible, is counted.
Yes.
And so when someone comes to your door, which will happen starting in May and then kind of throughout the summer, what you can ask for is for their ID badge. And that's going to have their name and their photo. There's going to be like a watermark and it's going to have like an expiration date. And so you're totally within your right to say like, can I please see your identification? And that will help you know that the person that you're talking to is like a legitimate representative of the census.
I remember when I was a kid and living in Oaxaca, there was the people from the census and then they would go and leave a sticker at your door. Would that happen here? Like, you know, censado. They would, it's still, I just came back from Oaxaca and I can still see it in the market. It says censado. So
like 1985.
Yeah. They would mark your door saying like that you have been there counted. So that you're counted. Mm-hmm. Would that also happen here?
I believe they're going to have some kind of documentation that they'll leave with you, but I think
I voted.
Yeah. You know? I wish there was a sticker. I was counted. I'm counted.
Maybe like something you should put on your house, like this house has been counted by the census. So it's like basically leave me the fuck alone. Don't knock on my door.
I've actually seen, heard, I guess, that there's these baby onesies that say like I was counted. And I think that sounds really adorable. But yeah, I don't think those are being distributed by the census. So I should say,
but a nice thing, you know how people say like, you know, like a Democrat house or, you know, this house is voting for so-and-so or, you know, I think there should be something.
They should have a sticker. And you know, like whoever makes the decisions, listen to me, you guys should put a sticker on each house.
Yeah. Mexico. We need census swag.
Yeah, we do. I'm telling you. People and
you'd be like, I'll count if I get that free sticker. Yeah. Free.
I need a sticker to put on Instagram.
You want Latinos to be counted. Yeah. Give us something for free.
So I can put on Instagram, you know, like I did it. You know what I mean? I need that selfie with my censado sticker.
There are some local organizations that are doing a ton of outreach, especially around the young child community, which is kind of like where I spend the most of my mental time. Yeah. And so like Child 360, First 5 LA, they have like little postcards that you can send out to your friends and kind of remind them or give to your neighbors or to people that you see at work or at school. So there are organizations that are creating materials that are like really cute and well designed that you can send out to folks.
Or you know what? We're not making any swag for the census, but we are spreading the word.
Or have a party and put the in front computers.
A census party. Maybe that's what we should do, Paulina. We should have a census party.
I would come
to your census party.
You know what I mean? Bring your little card and then just get census on. Get your census on. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in. But do you have any more questions? I feel like I'm pretty well versed in the census now.
Yeah, I just want to encourage everybody out there and, what I was telling someone is that just even listening to some of the spots on the radio and people are like, you know, we're not going to call immigration, basically. But I think that just like scares me more when people say just be sure that we're not going to call immigration. It's just I feel people are like, are they really, you know?
Well, also, I think one of the things that you brought up that I think would scare people that who are here illegally, but if they have a lot of people living in their home, that might be something also that stops people. So it's good to know that they will not come for you, even if you have unlicensed dwelling units in your property.
It's the truth. Yeah. It's like, that's what happens in our community. But I just want to tell people, you know, don't be scared. And if you are always thinking like, oh, I wish I could boat. I wish I could, you know, put my boat.
You want to go on a boat?
No. What? ESL, vote.
I wish I could go on a boat, but I can't.
I wish I could vote. I don't know. Vote. They all sound the same to me. This is your chance. This is kind of like voting. Did I say it right?
Voting, okay. Yeah.
This is kind of like voting, but on a different level, right? And I think these are like important issues too. You know, a lot of our listeners have small kids. And they need to be counted. This is a great way to be counted and make your voice be heard. People say, oh, I don't have any papers. I can't. Yeah, this is your chance. This is it. For sure. Take this opportunity and do it. Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
And people shouldn't be scared to ask questions either. Like I said, you can ask the people that come to your door, who are you? Show me your identification. And you can also ask people like me your questions. So my reporting is largely informed by the people I talk to in the community. So if you have questions about the census or if you have questions about early childhood, I want to hear them. You can find me on social media or email, and I really try hard to like be out in the community so that I can be a resource, because I'm not going to be the one that has the best ideas for stories. People in the communities are going to be the ones that bring me the best ideas for stories. And if I'm answering your question, there's a chance that someone out there has a similar question. And not only are you helping yourself, but you're helping all of us as a community learn more about this really important topic.
So the fact that some of us, like my sister, have to be on a waiting list for childcare, is it maybe because 10 years ago the census wasn't counted and they didn't put enough resources? That's the truth, right?
Oh man, you just got into like a super meaty topic. So the availability of childcare depends on so many things. So one is that, you know, people who qualify for subsidized care based on how much money they make, there is not enough spaces for them. And so that is one problem that is federal and state. But then for people that might not qualify, as you probably know, the cost of childcare is extremely expensive. Yes. And that is tied to a whole bunch of other things, like how much money was cut from childcare after the recession, all the way to the fact that like many people who work in childcare in Los Angeles County are making around minimum wage, if that. And so that makes it not like a super appealing job that people might want to do, even though there is this huge need. So if you want to have me back and we can talk about availability of childcare, I could easily go on about that forever.
But this will help a little bit, the census.
The hope is that if you show up and are counted, that the government will recognize that these are services that are needed. And hopefully that could start to move the needle on things like, you know, Head Start, childcare.
And true. Also, do you know why early childhood care isn't fully deductible in your taxes?
That is a great question.
That is something you should look into.
Yeah. I mean, talking about questions, I have a lot of questions.
So,
I just don't understand. Yeah, that is like one of our biggest expenses.
So especially when you have three kids.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there is a certain amount related to childcare that you can deduct, but not like the full cost, like you said.
Right, but like it's an expense you're having in order correct. To be able to work.
Yes.
So it's a work expense.
Yes. And so I would say that is
in my mind, it makes sense.
Right. No, absolutely. And that is a policy issue. And so that is something that can be handled at the statewide level.
Who do I call?
I would go online. You can look up your representative and all of them have like a phone number and an email address. And you can say, yo, I live in your district. I pay this much money for childcare. Is there something we can do about, you know, perhaps making that a deduction on your state taxes, for example? And then at the federal level, you're going to have to make more calls and send more emails, but figure out who your federal representatives are and make them.
No, for real. I mean, this year's election year.
That matters. Yeah.
This year's election. Nobody's running in a childcare platform. No. I will vote for that person.
And I talked to policymakers and they, you know, they really value hearing from people that live in the places that they represent. Right. Those postcards, those letters, they really make a difference. And so I think like the general takeaway is like people shouldn't be afraid to stand up and raise their voice about issues they care about.
Because those are the kind of things that we say we should, but I've never written a letter to my representative. And I'm just complaining on air, right? So I guess I should write a letter and say, this is how much I'm spending on education.
I didn't even know until recently when I started voting. Yes. I got the little booklet and I was like, oh, that's my person. I was like, oh. But yeah, a lot of people don't even bother to read, to know.
I get very excited. My mom, when we talk on the phone, she tells me, and I spent this morning on the phone with my representatives. And it's just like a little, like, it makes me so happy that she is
they're about to hear from
taking
me.
Part of that. Yeah.
Now that you're giving me an idea. And I'm like, wait, there's phone numbers there?
And they actually pick up. It's not a machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Talk to someone that
every day. That made this
on the way to the dropping off the kid.
Yeah, it's me again. And you just illustrated what is like probably one of my most favorite parts of my job, which is that I really feel like when you give people information, it like empowers them to like take action in their community, and that's what my job is. My job isn't to you know, tell you to call them up. It's my job to say, if you want to call them up, like, here is the phone number and like, here's what's going to happen when you right. do that. And here's information about issues that matter to your life. So that makes me super happy.
Yay. Well, super mamas, this is the year of the vision with action.
Yes.
Take action. Be counted.
Call your representative. Tell them how much you spend on childcare and tell them you want that to be deducted of your taxes.
Yes.
100%.
If all the super mamas would call, imagine.
And double, oh yeah, and like triple the child tax. Like
the child credit.
The child credit.
I'm excited because you guys sound like you're going to make it way better for when I eventually have a child.
Yes. Yeah. Girl, you don't even want to know.
Triple the child credit and 100% deduction on childcare and private school.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I don't know what we're going to do when we come back, but we'll come back.
We'll come back.
Cool. Hi, Super Mamas. I know we have talked about our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico, in past episodes. The book tells the story of our family's journey from Oaxaca to Los Angeles, and it includes over 100 family recipes. Yes. That includes our OG award-winning mole negro recipe. It would mean the world to us to have your support and have every single one of you order a copy today. You can order Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico today by visiting ilovemole.com/Oaxaca cookbook. That's ilovemole.com/OAXACA cookbook. Our book will also be available everywhere books are sold. Thank you so much, mamas. We cannot wait for you to have a copy in your hands. And we're back.
We're back.
With some information that we need to clarify.
So I get actually very excited to check my mail because I have some pen pals that like live around the world. But I know that not everyone.
Oh, that's so nice.
It is really
You're definitely
fun.
Not a mom. You got time to write to pen pals.
If you guys are not as stoked about checking your mail, you should get excited because starting last week, those census postcards are going out in the mail. So you should expect them. And if you don't get one for some reason, you can go online and still complete the census anyway.
Yeah.
And then I and the rest of the team at KPCC and LAist are going to be reporting on the census throughout the year. And if you have questions, you can go to kp.cc/census questions and ask us questions. And we do read every single one of those questions and we take them into consideration when we're doing our stories. And so we want to make sure we're being super useful. And the way we can do that is by hearing from folks in the community.
Perfect. Can you repeat the website for the census?
Yes. The census website is my2020census.gov.
Cool.
And also, we will be linking all of the links that you heard today on superamas.com. By the way, low-key, I feel like the women should say that they're head of household just to make a point. And that when all the statistics come out, they're like, there are more women households in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's like resurgence that we're starting billionaire hair super
and there's
mamas.
A bunch of kids. Wow. Yeah. What happened?
Like, whoa, what happened? All of a sudden, like this woman was in Super Mamas podcast and like this sense is just switched.
That is gonna happen. I prophesize.
Right? But right, like low key, I'm just thinking like my husband's even going to know to do the census. Like, we're going to be the ones that do it anyway.
Pretty much we're going to be the ones doing it.
So we should put ourselves as the house of head of household.
For real.
And just while we're here, I feel like I'm always trying to explain, like, what journalism is and what reporters are and what public radio is. I know you're a longtime listener, but do you guys have any questions for how it is that we do our work and anything I could explain?
Well, based on commercials and doing your drives, everything you guys mentioned is that, I'm just kidding. No, why don't you just tell us? Why don't you just mention a little bit about KPCC and what public radio is and what it does for the community?
Yeah, so we have been around since KPCC is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, but public radio as a whole, there are more than 1,000 public radio stations in the United States. And I think what's really special about us is that we really focus on the local community and there's never any paywalls. Like, you can just turn on the radio anytime and you're going to be hearing stories about your community and about the world. You can go to LAist.com and you can read all of those stories. And it's part of our mission that our work is available for everyone to read. Obviously, we do rely on people to make it happen financially. That's actually our biggest source of funding. But there aren't advertisements. You're not going to be shut out of stories because you can't afford to like have that information. And to me, that's really important because I always make sure that the work I do is available to anyone that wants to read it and that there are like as few barriers as possible. And I think what's really cool now also is that not only can you listen to my stories on the radio, but we're making an effort to like come to people in the community. So we're doing live events. We're like tabling at different things. We're coming on podcasts like yours because we know that like not everyone is going to listen to the radio. I mean, I, as a child, thought it was very boring and lame that my mom listened to NPR and like, look what happened to me. But we know that that's not like the best way for everyone to get information. And so we're working really hard to make sure that we show up in the community and are everywhere the people are.
Oh, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
To the
yeah.
show.
No, thank We're you for having me.
We're big supporters of public radio.
Yes.
Well,
thank you, Mariana. Thank you for coming. And where can people find you, follow you?
I'm on,
listen to your stories.
Yeah, I'm on all the places. So you can listen to KPCC 89.3 FM. But I'm also on all the social medias. I'm on Instagram at Mariana Dale Reports. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. There aren't a lot of Mariana Dales out there. So likely if you punch my name in, you'll find me. And you can read our stories at laist.com. That's laist.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also at @_supermamas and in el Face at Supermamas Podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Calling to our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week, Supermamas!